Pray for Bob today as he brings forth the word. He came. It was interesting. The last couple of weeks, I had been speaking about vision and how persevering when we have a clear vision, how it makes it easier to persevere, and then just about going on about how having a purpose, having our purpose, and I happened to mention one line in particular as I was talking about. The fact that, you know, we have our purpose, but our purpose is in Christ. Our purpose is not all just about what we want. And Bob came up to me afterward and said, you know, God's been giving me a word. And he says, you wouldn't believe it. It's like the perfect follow-up to what you just said today. And if you remember, I'll say one last time, what I said was, you know, that we are not, you know, trying to get God to follow our plans. We need to get into God's plans, and we need to get a hold of his purpose for our life. Isn't that right? And so Bob says, listen to this title. And he told me, and I'm going to let him explain it to you because I'm not sure how he wants to present it, but I don't want to take away your fire.
Amen. Amen. Before I pray for you, Bob, I actually had kind of two visions today. One loose during praise and worship. I saw you with a time card, punching it, and kind of with a big smile on your face. And I just felt God saying that not to worry, that he's got everything in control, and you're going to be blessed and beyond your imagination. Amen. And then, Bob, when we were praying, I saw this upstairs, you standing on a rock. You know, we all know the story of Moses out in the desert bringing water from the rock. Amen. As long as we stand on there, he was there. That's right. He was Moses' right-hand man. Amen. And but you were standing on the rock, and as you were standing on the rock, water began to flow out. And I just said, you know what? He had to do double duty today. He taught the class upstairs the double blessing. Amen. Amen. We might send him down to the nursery, and you can get a triple blessing. How about that? Amen. But it was just that, you know, as we stand upon the rock, our foundation, that is, we stand upon him and we proclaim what he gives us. Amen. So with that, let's pray for Bob. I believe that he's going to be staying on that rock today. And we're going to ask the Spirit of God just to move through him and to us. Father, we pray that water that you spoke of, that would rise up deep within us, it would become that living well of water. Lord, that it would flow forth today. And Father, that you'd use Bob. We thank you that you have laid this message upon his heart. We pray, Father, that it would bring forth, that it would gush forth here today. And Lord, that we would drink deep from the well that you have provided. Lord, bless this word, bless Bob, and bless our hearts and our wills that we're ready to move upon it. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen. Amen.
All right, thank you, Pastor. I'm ready now. Yes, yes. Well, again, good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? I thought I was all suited up here and ready to go, but apparently I wasn't. So give me one second more while I get everything together here. Everything, how high-tech. Everybody comes up here with all these great computers and stuff. You know, tablets and working off their phone. I'm lucky to make a phone call on my smartphone. I have not figured out why it makes sense to have a phone smarter than I am, but I'm sure there's a reason. I like the good old days. Just give me a Bible. Never goes out. I don't care if the power goes out. Give me a candle. I can read that. It was quite funny because of what Pastor Don said, because what I was going to say this morning or what I was going to start out with is every time I get the opportunity to speak, I don't bring a new revelation. There is no new revelation. We have all the revelation we need. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen? What I like to do is go back to the foundational things. Because we can only build on a good foundation, a sturdy foundation, but also the right foundation. Bernie, is it? I was talking to Bernie this morning. He just moved into Melvindale. I told him I'd lived here 28 years. So I was house hunting. I moved 3 years ago. I was house hunting for about 2 years, the wife and I. We found three houses. The first three houses we found we liked. When I got someone in to inspect it, they looked beautiful. The foundation was no good. What good is it if something looks good, if it's going to fall apart or fall down in a few years? Amen? You can't build without a good foundation. And by a good foundation, I mean right foundation. I'm going to kind of go with that theme today about a right foundation. And the foundational issue I'm going to speak about this morning is probably the one that most Christians talk more about, probably do it more, but know the least about. And that's prayer. Anybody here never prayed? Good. Then maybe we can relate here. Sometimes, hello. Hi. You guys do a great job up there. Give them a hand. You too, young lady. I didn't know she was allowed out. She thought she only come out at night and when everybody else left church. I didn't know. But the ladies up there, they do a great job. We never hardly ever get to see them. So it was good to see you down here today. Give Sarah another hand. They do. All kidding aside, they do a great job. Sarah's been here quite a while. One of those unsung heroes, and we appreciate you. Amen? Sometimes it's good to take a look at something by first looking at what it's not. I said I was going to take a look at prayer today. We've all probably heard thousands of messages on prayer, haven't we? Is there anyone here that's never heard a sermon on prayer? Okay. But like I say, sometimes it's good to take a look what it isn't. And here the last while, there's been kind of a movement in the church called the faith movement. Some call it the ultra faith movement, the uber faith movement, or whatever. They base so much on faith. And I thought, and a lot of that is based on prayer. And I thought I'd take a look at a couple of the scriptures that they use to justify or explain why they believe what they believe. Now, this morning I talked about, this is a two-parter almost, so if you want to get the tape from this morning, go ahead and get it. It would kind of follow along with what I'm doing now, Pastor. And if you can't afford it, put it on my tab. I'll take care of it. Big spender. I think they're $2. No, no breakfast. No, no, I'm not going to fill up your gas tank. I'll just buy you a DVD. All right, here's a couple verses. Whenever we want to look at something, where do we always go? The Word of God. That's our foundation. But again, like I said this morning, it has to be the right foundation. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 21, 18 through 22. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it and found nothing on it except leaves. Pastor Don always kids me that I did a whole teaching on fig trees. He said, I probably know more about fig trees other than a fig tree farmer, if there is such a thing. But one thing you need to know about fig trees, it's an odd tree, especially the ones at this time and in this era. They've been bred, but actually how God made them was they started producing fruit before they got leaves. So when Jesus went up and seen this tree had leaves, he knew it was alive, but it had no fruit. And he knew the fruit wasn't coming. He knew there was going to be no fruit, because once the leaves come on, all the nourishment went to that. He didn't produce any more fruit. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. Immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did the fig tree wither so quickly, they asked. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can also say to the mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Leave 22 up there a minute. Read that. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. A lot of people will take this and run with it, forgetting about the rest of the Bible. Right? We have to understand this properly, not just go on what we think it means. Right? For if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for. Believe in what? We need to stop and think about what this is saying. What do we believe in? What are we supposed to believe in? Is this the Word of God? If it's the Word of God, it should be true. If it says whatever you believe in, you ask for it, you'll receive it. So I assume that everybody here has a Cadillac in their driveway, correct? Is there somebody that doesn't? You need to work on your faith, Joe. Okay? Well, Ford, man. Well, come up later for some prayer, brother. But this is where people will take one verse and just run with it. All kidding aside, is there anybody that's ever had a prayer not answered? Or God said no? We all have, haven't we? So, I don't understand what that's saying or what it means, do we? Well, wait, listen. Let's go on for a minute. In Mark 9, 19 through 25, you unbelieving generation, Jesus said. You could almost say that to this generation. You know, you could say that to any generation. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It is often, meaning the demon, thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And here's what Jesus said. If you can... Are you asking me if I can? And then Jesus said, everything is possible for one who believes. Again, keep that one up there. This is verse 22. If you can, everything is possible for one who believes. So I guess every one of us sitting here today are non-believers because we don't have that Cadillac or the Lincoln in our driveway, right? That every prayer we've ever asked God has not been answered. So, since it isn't God's fault, it must be our fault. I don't have enough belief. Does that make sense? I hope it doesn't, because that's not a bit true. Not a bit true. What that's saying is, to have a prayer answered, we have to come with belief. The more belief, the better the prayer is going to turn out. The more we get, because of the harder I believe. Right? That seems plausible by just looking at those two verses, doesn't it? That's why we don't read verses. We read the Bible, the Word of God in its entirety. Let me give you a story here. And then we'll take a look at this again. Look at this story in Acts chapter 12. This is where James had just been killed, martyred. And the crowd didn't seem to really care much. So the king said, wow, this might be my chance to get rid of all these crazy guys running around here. So they seized Peter and put him in jail. They didn't just put him in jail like you have now with a color TV and air conditioning and some bologna sandwiches, right, Ray? Bologna sandwiches? They had him strung out like this. There was a guard on either side of him, chained to him. And they put him in an inner cell. When it talks about an inner cell, prisons were usually dug into the side of mountains. There's not even enough room to stand up when they talk about the inner cell. It's like a little curvature. You can't even stand up. And then in the front of it, they had two other guards sit there. And here's what it says in verse 11, starting at verse 11, Acts verse 11. Please. Then Peter came. What had happened was, all of a sudden, God shows up. Delivers Peter out of the cell. Blinds, confounds the guards. He had his cloak of invisibility on. They couldn't see him. He just walked out, basically. And then in verse 11, and Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angels and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." James was just killed. What do you think was going to happen to Peter? He was going to be killed. When this had dawned on him that he had escaped, he said, "Well, what should I do?" He went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. These are all of the godly people that are following them, the apostles, around. They all got together and said, "Man, look what's happening. We had better go pray. Is this good?" Amen, it's good. They're doing the right thing. Peter now goes up, running up to their door, kind of sneaky, you know, they're still looking for him, and knocks. And a servant girl named Rhoda come to answer the door. When she didn't answer the door, she didn't open the door. She said, "Who is it?" And she recognized Peter's voice. Now, we can recognize somebody's voice. When somebody calls you on the phone, you recognize a voice, right? Pastor John, if I called you on the phone, you'd recognize my voice because we've known each other so long, vice versa, right? She knew Peter's voice. She knew it was Peter. She's all excited. "Man, our prayers are answered. Praise the Lord. Here he is. Peter's back." She was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening and ran to Peter, ran into where all of the saints were praying for the release of Peter, and says, "Praise the Lord, Peter is free." Now these good, strong, believing Christians said, "You're out of your mind. You are out of your..." "Well, you know what? We're here praying. Don't bother me, girl. I'm here praying for Peter to be released." "But he's at the door." "Shh. Don't disturb my prayer. I am praying for Peter to be released." "But he's at the door." "You're crazy. You're crazy. You're out of your mind." But she kept on and kept insisting. Then he said, "Well, she must see something. It must be an angel. It couldn't be Peter. What I'm praying for couldn't have been answered. He's in jail with these two guards, got him down like this. He couldn't get out of jail. It must be an angel." But Peter kept on knocking. "Hey, he just got out of jail. Come on, let me in, please. Let me in." Finally, they opened the door, and they were astounded. Let me ask you a question. The verse that we seen up there just a moment ago, the two verses I used, said that anything we believe in will be answered. Can somebody from the story I just read show me there was belief in these people? Were they hard believers? It had been answered and they still didn't believe it. Do you know what? God doesn't need your belief to answer a prayer. We are not, like Pastor John said last week, the center of the universe, right? Because look around here, there'd be a lot of little universes, wouldn't there? No. What's at the center of the universe is God and God's will. Amen? He doesn't need your belief or unbelief to do anything, does he? What our belief should do is align with what he believes and wants. That's what should happen. And that's where a lot of these people would quote me on this or unquote me, the faith movement. They think there's some kind of a magic prayer that if I have enough faith, I can make God has to do what I want, because his word says if I believe, he will answer it. So I'm believing, so God, you better answer. Ooh, I would be scared to tell God what to do. But sometimes we unknowingly do it. It says to take everything to him in prayer and fasting, correct? All our concerns, all our worries. But to get ready for prayer time, sometimes it's the same way we get ready to go to the grocery store. We sit down with a pencil and paper and figure out what we want. Let's say you need spaghetti. Okay, you need some spaghetti sauce, right? Writing this list of what? What I need. And then we got the list together. It looks like the honeydew wife, my wife, gives me like a roll of toilet paper laid out. It's like 40 feet long. And we go in front of God and we start reading and telling him what I need and that I believe that he's going to give it to me. And if I believe and I have a list, you have to do it. I would be running because there would be lightning coming. But yet, there are people that believe that is the right way to do it, that we can control God through a prayer. It's just the opposite. Our prayer is to show God how much we need him. Not how much he needs us, it's how much we need him. He doesn't need us to believe to do anything. We're showing him through prayer our dependence. Does he already know what we want, what we need? Absolutely, before we go to prayer. That's why it's showing our dependency on him. That's why I'm taking everything comes from you, God. I depend on you wholly. One of the stories I like is in Matthew 8, 1 through 13. It's a story of the centurion that comes to Jesus and tells him, Lord, my servant is sick and ill. And Jesus said, well, let me come to you. I'll go with you and heal him. And the man says, no, Lord, I'm a sinner. I am unclean. You shouldn't even enter my house. I know that if you just say it, he'll be healed. You don't have to come to my house. He will be healed if you want. I mean, that even, not much catches Jesus off guard, but he kind of stood back with that. Whoa, what faith this man has. That he understands the authority. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And the servant was healed. Now there's one again that is talking about believing and it being done. I just read your story about believing and it not being done. So what's the difference here? If we go back to Matthew 21:18-22, the last verse in 22 says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for prayer. If you read that entire story from the first part, what it was is Jesus had triumphantly and prophetically entered Jerusalem on a donkey. He was now announcing who he was. And the first thing he did when he got there was he went into his house, his father's house, his house, it was going to be soon, the church, the temple. And what did he do? He seen the corruption. He turned the tables over and ran them out. Amen? So often we see Jesus portrayed as Mr. Rogers on tranquilizers. This was a real man. Do you imagine the hands on this guy from being a carpenter his whole life? I hurt my hands when I used power tools. You know, this was a strong man. This was not a wimp in any way. And then it comes to this part, this story. What God is telling him, if you believe, what are we supposed to believe? That God is God. God can do what he wants. What we have to do is what God wants, right? God does not have to do what you want. You are not the center of the universe. Sorry. None of us are. And in that next verse, next scripture I read, in Mark, verse 23, if you can, said Jesus. That was a question, like he said, that was an exclamation. If I can, if God can, okay. Everything is possible to him who believes. Now let's read on. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Well, why these two things? I do believe, but help me uncover my unbelief. Well, which is it? What it is, he got the revelation, the first part of I believe, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was God. He's got that belief now. We have that belief, don't we? But still there are times that we don't have enough faith or belief, do we? But you know, he's saying, you can pray for this. You can come to me and I can give you anything you want. You want more belief? That's a good thing. You want more strength? You want more power to do what I ask you? That's a good thing. But that's what changed him when he said, I believe. Then Jesus, listen to this now. Then Jesus saw a crowd was running to the scene. Now, you know, Jesus isn't a showman, right? He's not doing this for his own glory. But yet he stopped and waited till the crowd got there. What this is, it was God knew that this was the way it was. Jesus knew that this was the way it was supposed to be. That what he was doing was his Father's will. This was something that he was supposed to show and heal and do for the people to see. He was walking out God's prophetic word. Right? All you have to believe in is God is in control of everything and his prophetic word will be done. What he's saying here to believe in is that God is God. God can do anything he wants. And what God is going to do is in his prophetic word. If God gives a prophetic word, it's going to happen. Right? The whole Bible is about the coming of Jesus and what happens afterwards. So of course he's going to make it happen. That's in his will, right? And what's our example? If I wanted to know right now, how should I pray and what should I pray? Who do you think would be a good example? Ray, who would be a good example that I could read about if I wanted to know about prayer? Or if I wanted to know about the right way to pray, or what should I pray for? Who? I've heard of him. Absolutely. Whenever we need to know what we should do, you go and look at the example that Jesus Christ gave us. And here's what Jesus says matters in prayer. Someone had the audacity, and it probably would have been me if I was in the crowd, how should we pray? You know, I don't know how to pray. How should we pray, Lord? And here's what he said. This then is how you should pray. He's not leaving any doubt, is he? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Again, it comes with the believing that you are God, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Stop. That's it right there. God, whatever you want done, our prayer has to align with God's word, has to align with God's plan, purpose, and will. If not, you know, I hate to break it to you, but praying for that Cadillac in your driveway probably isn't right in line with God's will, right? Now, maybe if you prayed for a school bus to go out and pick up kids in the neighborhood to bring them here, you might wake up and there'd be a big yellow coupe out there. Matthew 26:39. That was what Jesus said. Not only does he talk, but he acts out in deeds and examples. Here's the example he gave us. This is just before they come and get him to take him away. The end is near. He's going to be crucified. My Father, if it is possible, may you make this cup be taken from me. Did he know it wasn't? Of course he did. He knew that wasn't going to be taken from him. But still, he's pouring his heart out to his Father. He's saying, you know, I don't want to be crucified. Nobody does. I don't want to die a shameful death, but I know. This is what he says is so important. Again, he's showing his dependence on God. But here's what's so important. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. That is the difference. That is the right way to pray. Not my will be done, but your will be done. If we think about that a little bit out, the second part of the way I put it was, prayer is not an island in itself. No prayer is an island. No prayer stands alone. What I mean by that is if we believe those first two scriptures that whatever I believe in is going to happen. Down the street here, there's a job opening. 50 people put in for it. One job. Not five, not six, seven, one job. God knew it was one job. God made that job. One job open. 50 people put in for it. Out of these 50 people, seven of them are good, believing Christians. One job, seven people. One prayer answered, six not. Did that mean they didn't believe, those six did not believe strong enough? Or the one that got the job believed more? No. It was God's purpose, plan, and will. God runs everything. He is the ringmaster. Everything that happens is because God wants it to happen. It's part of his purpose and plan and will for the entire universe. And thank God we're just a little part of it. Right? It's silly to think in any way that we can control God. God controls us to a point. He loves us enough to give us our freedom. But that's probably the worst thing he can do for us sometimes. Because we take that and always run in the wrong direction. I'm going to end with this. You do not control God. Get that through your heads. There is no magic prayer that makes God do what you want. You are not the center of the universe. Your prayers are not an island unto themselves. Everybody's prayer is heard by God. Everybody's prayer is important. The one he answers is not because you're the prettiest, because all my prayers would be answered. But it's part of God's plan, purpose, and will. If that's what it is, if God tells you to go do something, you go do it. I told you a story about, God told me to pray for a pastor, one of five that was speaking at a church probably twice as big as ours, and it was completely packed. A funeral, yes. And there was one men's bathroom, and I think there was like, it was a small bathroom. And they spoke for 5 hours, I think. They were Baptists, Lord love them, but they were five Baptist preachers. It went an hour apiece. And I'm sitting by the door smelling the fried chicken the ladies were cooking in back. And I wanted to get back there. But first I figure I better go to the bathroom. But I know that God had told me to have a word for this man. I'm sitting in the pew just worried about my chicken. And God tells me, that man there, I want you to go speak to him. What? I don't even know who this guy is. This is a way to pray. I said, Lord, your will be done, but I don't know how to do this. You're going to have to make a way. I stood in line for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes to get in the bathroom. I mean, there's like six or eight guys in here, crowd in. I go over to the thing, and I'm washing my hands, and hear a guy say, hey, how's it going? I've never seen you before. You a friend of the family? And I look over, and it's that pastor. I said, oh, my goodness. I swear to God, I turned around and looked. There was not a soul in that bathroom but me and him. I said, okay, I get the idea, and I gave him a word. That's the hardest thing to do, right, Pastor Don? Somebody could meet you in the bathroom and give you a word for your church from God. Only God, with his sense of humor, would do that. But he gave me a word that there's no way I could know, that it was only God. So he accepted. He actually thanked me afterwards. But you have to remember, God's in control. Your prayer should align with his plan, purpose, and will. And by doing the prayer I give there was, Lord, your will be done. I don't know how to do it. You make a way, and I will do it. Remember, God controls everything. God made everything. God controls everything. If he wants you to do it, he's going to make a way. Our prayer should be that we can understand God's plan, purpose, and will for me. No way am I going to worry about what Marty's supposed to do or Joe is supposed to do. I can't even handle what I'm supposed to do, Joe, right? You know what? What I'm supposed to do is not what Joe is supposed to do. It's not what Marty is supposed to do. I'm supposed to do what Bob is supposed to do. And that should be my concern, to learn that, and my prayer should align with that. Always pray that he can give you the power to accomplish what he asks you to do. He has it, but pray for it because you don't have it. Simple prayer. I've said this many, many times. Lord, your will be done. Here I am. Use me. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we know that you are a loving God, Father. That, Lord, if you ask us to do something, it's not a trick, it's not a joke. That, Lord, you will make a way for us to do it, Father God. Father, we pray for the strength to know your mind, will, and purpose, Father God. And, Lord, from now on, that our prayer be that our prayer aligns with your plan, purpose, and will for me, but even more, that I am not an island alone, Father God, that every time I pray, if you answer my prayer, it's going to affect hundreds of people, Father God. Let me see that I am not the center of the universe. I am your child, Father God, that you love. And Lord, I pray that here I am. Here we are. Use us, Lord. Amen. We have the prayer team up here. If anybody needs a little bit of prayer for anything, anything at all, we've got these two fine couples up here willing to pray for you. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shared